Good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, this is what it feels like. This is what a triple captaincy chip actually working and paying off feels like. How many times over how many seasons have we had the triple captain fail on Mane? The triple, do you remember the Emmanuel Dennis? Did you not? No. You managed to swerve both of them?
Because I had Firmino's triple cap when it was Mane.
Did you? Did that come off? It come off better than Mane, because Mane went off injured, didn't he? That was a couple of seasons ago.
And I went Firmino because I was trying to be different.
Yeah.
And then the Dennis one, I did Josh King.
Oh, so you swerve both of them. Well, this is what a triple captaincy haul feels like. And I love it. I'm here for it.
The last time I played my triple captain, it was game week 9 last season. It was Haaland versus Southampton. It was the early goal. We're standing at the top of the Eiffel Tower, you remember? Early goal.
Sam, I do.
Haaland scored. Brilliant. It's like 4 minutes in. Fantastic. Great news. Thanks, Lee, for updating me on that. I'm really excited. We've got 84 minutes now for him to go and get an absolute hatful.
Yeah, hat trick incoming.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And so at the weekend on Saturday,
I'd actually just
nipped out to go and get a few bits for Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got to the shop and I'm listening to it on the car radio and it says, and it's Haaland. And I was like, and I texted you, didn't I? And I said, and you said, right, great, kick on now. And I said, I've been here before.
Yeah.
An early goal. I need something else before I feel better about it. And then he gets the assist and I start to feel a bit better. And then he gets the next goal and I start to feel a lot better. Although I was still by the end of it going, come on, Erling, I need a bit more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know what? He even looked a little bit annoyed at himself, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because he got bought off towards the end of the game and he's not got the hat trick. And he's, I think it would have been his 150th goal for City, or maybe league goal for City. There was some sort of like milestone associated with it as well.
So
even he was a bit upset not to get the third one. But listen, I don't think, as triple captaincies go, I don't think we can ask for much more than that. He was top across all BPS in the game week with 66. He's the player with the most shots, I think, joint with Rodgers, who we'll talk about, I'm sure. But two goals and assist and three bonus points, that's decent. We'll take it. We take those, don't we?
Yeah, well, I noticed that you tried to screw me over a number of times on this, telling me, Sam, go for Foden over Haaland. You need to do this. You need to catch up. You need it. Well, if I'd have gone for that, Leroy from FPL Family, that would have been a disaster.
I did say a few times, you know, if you're not happy with your rank, you have to take some risks. And I thought going against Haaland with a triple cap with Foden was a risk worth taking. So, yes, that would have been wrong. That would have been wrong, absolutely. So, well done for ignoring me.
It would have killed my seasoning entirely if I'd done that.
Well done for ignoring me. So, as you can see on the screen, guys, green arrows all round here in the FPL Family household. I don't think massive, certainly not in my case, a massive green arrow, a small one. We'll talk about our teams, obviously, a bit later on. I've got one still to go, the mighty, the legendary, the mythical Harry Wilson, still to go tomorrow. But you are done, I think, for the week?
I'm done. Yeah, okay. It's about a 300k green at the minute. I'll lose a bit tomorrow, likely, for Harry Wilson. He's still not stupid owned. I mean, he's the most transferred in, but he's still not huge. Fulham defence is relatively reasonably owned, so I want the clean sheet to go for both sides.
Fair. Okay.
But I want it not to be Wilson.
Okay. All right, well, we'll talk about our teams a bit later on, of course. We'll see how we got on in game week 17. I think the theme of this live stream, or one of them, and we'll get to saying hello to you guys in just a second, is going to be injuries. As we're getting to that point of the season where the games are coming thick and fast. A couple of really key injuries for us this weekend, not least the one we've just seen for Bruno Fernandes. Now, I don't think that we're going to get a press conference between now and the next Manchester United game.
Boxing Day,
which is Boxing Day. And of course, they've got a pretty nice fixture coming up against Wolves at home. If not this week, I think it's next week, isn't it? Is it eight, or is it in 18? Maybe it isn't.
No,
because
no,
we've got Wolves,
Newcastle,
haven't we? Newcastle, that's it. And then Wolves. So I must admit, as a Bruno Fernandes owner, that one stings a little bit, I have to say. And I think Amorim's post-match comments, and this is really all we've got to go on, guys, and most of you would have seen this on Twitter already, I would assume, is that Amorim came out in his post-match and talked about it being like a muscular thing. He did say it was something in the soft tissue. Yeah. Now, listen, I'm not a doctor. It's Dr. Sam over here. I'm absolutely no doctor whatsoever. But from what the people in the know on Twitter then said about that comment, you know, that's a couple of weeks. That's 2 or 3 weeks at least, potentially, for Bruno. So,
but the trouble is that 2 or 3 weeks is not just 2 or 3 game weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because of the speed of the games coming around, it's more.
Absolutely. And you want him for that Wolves game, don't you? That's the one you want him for. Because I've got to talk about, I don't know if you've seen the Doherty interview.
Oh, I have. I feel a bit bad because I love him. Because, you know, there's a Spurs connection there.
Totally,
And when he was talking, I was like, Matt, I feel like God, I just, I want to come and give you a hug. I want to come through
that's
the telly.
So Joe Hart said on Match Today,
and
yeah.
give you a big cuddle because you yeah. just look so sad.
I thought if that is how the dressing room is feeling, and bear in mind that Matt Doherty, and we're getting ahead of ourselves already, but bear in mind that Matt Doherty, when he used to play for you and he's played for other clubs as well, he's one of them. He's like a character, isn't he? Mm. He's quite a character. So for him to come out and be that down in the dumps about the performance and sort of call out the team and a little bit, you know, talking about the fact that he thought some players are probably already thinking about their next move and where they might go in January. I'm like, cool,
but it's blimey, difficult, I think, because
calling them all out.
I get it. I get why he's doing it. He's trying to get a reaction. He's trying to get the dressing room to kind of respond. And,
yeah,
you know, but also behind the scenes, it's a disaster, isn't it? Like you're seeing that this person's stepping down, that person wants out,
it's not
this
right.
person. And that's just behind the scenes. That's not even what Doherty's talking about, which is the dressing room. This is like at a higher level. You're hearing all of this about, you know, the chairman and this one and that one and the executive directors and the board. And you look at it and you go, blimey.
Yeah.
If you've got a hierarchy, and even the other week when the guy came out and he said, I think I made a mistake when I sanctioned so many sales of big players
yes,
in the summer.
Yes.
And you think,
what?
Why are you saying that?
Like,
that's not helpful, is it? That's yeah. not helpful to the team. So you're absolutely right. You do want Bruno for that game against Wolves, because when you look at what's happening, it's not even like Doherty can go in there and rally the troops and they can go and have a good game, because actually I think it's fundamentally a bigger issue than that, because the behind the scenes has just gone to pot.
Yeah.
And it's so sad because they're such a good club, Wolves. Like, they're a club that they've been in the Premier League for a long time now. They've been one of those teams that came up and stayed up and has done really well.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite sad to see what's happening.
All right. We'll talk about them in a bit more detail. But for sure, I thought coming into this game week, we were after a season of, what are we on, game week 17, after a season, and we've said this before on Sunday nights, right? It's been up and down, very difficult to sort of know what to pick, how to focus, spot the patterns in the data. And it continues to be like that, I think. This is more of a kind of macro FPL comment, really, from sort of my... It's an opinion, really, more than anything. But we were starting to see a bit of a template form. And we were starting to see a bit of consistency in who to target. Mm-hmm. Like, even though Espirito Santo's come in, West Ham still a bit crap defensively.
And they've like, now lost
the Wolves all over the shop, target them. Burnley, 7 defeats in a row, although they did get a draw this weekend. So what's that now? No win in 8. So target them. You know, we're starting to figure out who we should yeah. target, what the template looks like. So I actually think the injury to Bruno Fernandes and maybe the rise of some of the other assets like Hugo Ekitike, which we'll talk about in a second as well, might start to break that template up a little bit going into the new year. And that might be good for us in FPL. It might start making it harder again, right? After a couple of weeks of sort of following template a little bit because of the 5-3 transfers, everyone sort of converging to the same team.
Mm.
We might start to see a little bit of variety. I don't know. That's just my opinion, actually. But we'll talk about all the games. We'll do our teams. We will talk, of course, about the FPL Family Derby, Spurs versus Liverpool. 2-1 to Liverpool in the end. But that does not tell the whole story by any stretch of the imagination.
Why are all games always ridiculous?
Well, it feels like it, doesn't it? It feels like it.
I feel like every year, we don't ever just have a game that's
not
just
a normal
like,
game.
We get to the end of it and we go,
yeah.
Yeah, good game.
Yeah.
And then we move on with our lives. I feel like either somebody gets sent off or there's a bad VAR decision or it's just a bonkers one end to end or like there's always something.
Oh, totally.
There's always something in this game, and it's such a weird one because really, apart from for you and I, it's not like there's a massive rivalry everywhere else, is it?
No.
It's just a rivalry for you and me.
No.
So, yeah, weird one.
Yeah, totally.
Talk about it later.
For those of you that are watching on YouTube, I actually tried something new. So YouTube, we've got this new feature where we can simulcast on the usual channel. So most of you, I guess, will be watching us in sort of the landscape TV style, you know, as you would do usually every week. We have done for weeks and weeks and months, etc. But YouTube's got this new feature where we can simulcast to shorts. We can simulcast to shorts. Now, I don't know how that. I have no idea how that's working. So if any of you are watching us on YouTube Shorts, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know.
It's the longest short in the world.
Well, it's just a live stream. It streams live on a short. But my challenge with it, I think, and I think you. So if anyone's watching on Shorts, let us know. The way that we have this set up is not conducive to Shorts, is it? Like if it was me and you remotely logged into a Zoom call, you could have your head up here and my head up here, and it would look quite good in portrait. Whereas we sit side by side here on the sofa, don't we? And it's, you know, it's all quite landscapey. So I don't know if the shorts thing is working. I think it's working. Whether it actually is a good watch or not, I don't know. But let me know, guys. If it's not, tell me, because I do want to make that work, because I feel like there could be another little slice of audience there that we could attract via YouTube Shorts. So let us know if you're trying that out. So we'll talk about FPL Family Derby as well. We'll do that fallout. We'll talk about what we might be thinking in terms of transfers for next week. I don't have any money in the bank now, right? But I do have three free transfers. So
I have money in the bank and no transfers.
So yeah, so we're in the complete opposite situations. So between us, I think there's going to be some changes. Don't give them away, but you've made some changes already, no?
Made one, yeah.
One change, okay. And I think, actually, I've noticed a lot of this in the FPL community, actually. A lot of people have gone quite early yesterday.
I won't tell you what I've done yet, but
no.
On Friday, I had the absolute pleasure of seeing FPL Harry down at the
Always
Fantasy Show.
Always a pleasure, isn't it?
Always. The man is an absolute delight. He's just a delightful human being.
Kept some menu for the last 2 weeks, didn't he? How does he do it?
And we had
does he do it, this guy?
He's quite good.
It's just good FPL. Yeah.
We had a lovely chat. And we before we went live, we were... It was just the two of us in the green room, and we were just chatting, and we were both talking about making the same move. And I was saying, I'm so tight on budget for it. I really need that player that I want not to rise in price on Friday night.
Mm.
And he was right on the, like, you know, live FPL sort of, it had him at 100%.
Yeah.
But it was like 100 at 1 minute, then it was 99.9, yeah. Then it was back up. And I was like, oh, and I woke up Saturday morning, and it was one of the first things I did was like, bring it up. Oh no, he stayed. And I was like, okay, right, as good. Long as he gets through good. Today not injured, I'm doing the transfer, because he's definitely going to rise Saturday night. And so I did do a transfer Saturday night. I note that Harry did two, so we
he went early. I think he had four or five in the bank, though, didn't he? So he could afford to.
Yeah, but he and I were in the same position financially and everything else, that he was just like, I have to make this work as well. And so we were both like looking at one of the same transfers, and I think there's a lot of people that did that early because of the amount of price rises and falls that we were getting on Saturday evening. And I knew it was a risk because obviously I had the match today, but Bruno's never injured, so that didn't really worry me. I was actually more concerned about what might happen on Tuesday evening when Arsenal play Crystal Palace, because obviously I've got three Arsenal players and Gaye involved in that one.
Yeah.
In the League Cup match that's going on Tuesday. So in my head, I was thinking, well, I'm going to take the risk. And if worse comes to the worst, I'll take a -4. We'll talk about that later, because worse might have just come to the worst.
All right. Well, we'll go into a bit more detail on that later on. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam. Nicole McCarthy is in as usual. Hey, Nicole, nice to see you. Joseph Maloney, another one of our patron followers, is here. Nice to see you, mate. George is in as usual. Good to see you, George. Azzy the Smiths is here. Andrew Yee is here. Kelly T, again, nice to see you, Kelly. Gamer Fanatics 1 is here. Hello, Gamer Fanatics. William Cottell is here. Torben Nielsen, Christopher Warburton, Daniel Banks, a whole host of you in tonight. A whole host. Who else have we got here? We have got, let's see. We have got Sandry. We have got Neil Stewart. We've got Chai Latte. A whole host of you guys in. Some very familiar names. So again, welcome to the FPL Family live stream. And well done in game week 17. If you played the triple captain on Haaland, you will undoubtedly be on a green arrow. Let's get into some of these fixtures then, Sam. Let's go to this one here. No, that's the fixture ticker. Let's go to this one here. And you'll notice that I have immediately bought up the Newcastle 2, Chelsea 2 game. So cast your mind back all the way to the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. Who says that the lunchtime kickoff has to be boring? What an unbelievably good game of football this was. Like, first and foremost, we'll get to the FPL-ness of it all, right? But unbelievable good game of football, no?
Mm. Yeah, it was. It was a great game. It was one of those matches where I wasn't really sure what I was expecting to happen either, like going into it, because Chelsea have been good lately. Newcastle have been in a bit of a slump over the last couple of weeks.
A little bit,
Necessarily.
Well, Voltimado was being sold.
Well, yeah.
Many did.
Many did. And then it would have hurt, or they might be jammy, like a certain FPL pod presenter, and be getting him off their bench this week.
Who's got Jules got Voltimado off
no,
the bench?
No, not Jules.
Kelly got Voltimado off the bench. For who? Who's an 0-11 that she picked? That didn't
Van
put?
Heck.
Van Heck for Voltimado.
It's unbelievable.
Oh my God, that's outrageous. Kelly Sommers, you've had one there.
I mean,
there wasn't even a whisper of Van Heck not being available, no?
No. There's jam and there's jam. And at one point I thought, oh, that's all right, because she'll just get a defensive sub.
Whoa.
But no, she was playing four at the back. So you do actually get Voltimado. I was raging. Anyway, enough of my
rage.
He got 13, Kelly.
Didn't he?
Yes.
Oh,
she's going to be getting it in the neck.
That is the jam.
She won't care, of course, in the pod on Thursday, but she'll still be getting it in the neck. It was one of those, wasn't it, where we've all sold Voltimada. Everybody's kind of like a little bit on the case of players like Anthony Gordon because we haven't really seen the highs. We were thinking, oh, the Newcastle defence looks a little bit in the mud because all these players are out. Livramento got hurt last week. They still don't have a goalkeeper. And then they set off like a rocket.
Well, I think they obviously got... They must have been a bit burnt by their performance against Sunderland last week, right? I think there was so much on Twitter, and even I think I reeled out the stat on Sky when we went on Saturday, was about the fact that they only ground out 0.02 XG in that first half against Sunderland last week in the derby. Mm. It was like so bad. They had like one shot and it was awful, really low XG. That's like the least creative they've been all season. And I think they had very much a bee in their bonnet going into this game.
Well, so they should. They needed to put in a performance.
And I think Howe probably gave them a bit of a rocket. Yeah. Because actually they came out like a house on fire. Like Gordon was he was unplayable at times in this game, and Chelsea just didn't know what hit him, I don't think.
Which is weird because we haven't really seen that from Anthony Gordon at all. Like, it's been like penalties scored, yeah, great, okay, well, you want that, that's a great route to point, sure. But we haven't really seen those highs. But the first half in particular, very impressed by the Newcastle performance in this one, very dominant against a Chelsea defence that's actually been rock solid. 8 clean sheets so far, that was more than Arsenal had at this point. So I was like, well, here we go. Like, maybe this is going to be an opportunity for a pretty boring lunchtime game because Chelsea are pretty good defensively.
Yeah.
Newcastle have lost their attack and their kind of spark. Maybe we just see a boring game play out. No, this was anything but. It was a really good match.
And what we're saying about, we get to Chelsea in a minute, what we're saying about Newcastle's fixtures then. So their fixtures read like this. Pretty good, actually. If you look at the Fantasy Football Scout ticker over the next 5, and I've got it sorted by difficulty, so I'm going to have to move away from the mic a little bit because the screen is really far away. United away next, a depleted United on the back of today. Burnley, home or away, you want to target them. Crystal Palace at home, who look knackered. Leeds at home, which is another good game for Newcastle, before they travel to Wolves. So I think if you've still got Voltimada, I don't think you're selling now, are you? Far from it.
No.
But would you... How do you feel about those fixtures then? Is what we saw at the weekend a one-off, or is it the start of, you know, a new run of form for Newcastle? Because for everything that we can say about Newcastle and how good they were in that first half, Chelsea then like got a rocket. Maresca obviously gave them a rocket at half-time. Now, the one thing I will say about Chelsea, and you guys all know that I love Chelsea, but the two goals are like stunning goals. Like, James's free kick is
unreal. An
unbelievably good free kick. Yeah. Like, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, Ramsdale, you've not covered yourself in glory there. Then I saw it again from behind the ball,
yeah,
the angle behind the ball, and I'm like, no.
That's just great. That's just really good.
James has just absolutely belted down the corner. And then, what did you think of the João Pedro goal? I thought that was a brilliant goal.
Yeah,
it was a brilliant goal.
And that's a little bit... it's interesting, isn't it? Because when you see brilliant goals like that scored, a little bit like Morgan Rogers, and we'll talk about that game later, when you see brilliant goals scored, you kind of go, right, well, those players, maybe that's an interesting one, but are they going to realistically do that every week? Now, in Morgan Rogers' case, I think it's a little bit different.
Mm.
But in Reece James's and João Pedro's, I mean, Reece James is going to get rotated a lot over Christmas because the games are going to come too quickly for him and he needs that.
He's playing a lot of minutes now, though.
Well,
do you know
he
what
is,
I mean?
But
he's
still...
like, he's being trusted now. He's getting the full 90 more often than not.
Yeah, but I think when we're seeing two matches in a week every week, that will be too much for Reece James.
Well, I'm not entirely on board with that, you know. I think he's starting to find proper match fitness.
But
now,
we're not seeing him play midweek and weekend all the time.
Well, no, but he's going to rest him in some of the non-Premier League games, I suspect. But he's getting the league. He's getting the minutes.
But over the next month, we haven't got non-Premier League. It's just Premier League.
FA Cup, haven't
back
we?
Back to back. Well, that's middle of January.
Yeah, okay,
so
fair
we've
enough.
Got a lot of game weeks to come. I don't think you would go there.
I just think that...
It's too much.
Reece James is not playing enough minutes narrative. It's just
there.
A bit, I don't know. I think it's a bit outdated now.
I didn't say he's not playing enough minutes. I said, I think he'll be rotated.
Okay,
I don't think he's going to come off early in games. He'll just miss a game. And that's what's going to be really frustrating for Reece James owners. And we've already seen that happen. We've seen him miss game. And I think that will happen. I think he still needs a level of protection because he is glass and eventually he will break again. So I think if you're going to invest in Chelsea, I still think, you know, you'd look at Chalobah or Sanchez if you were going in at the back. And I'm not necessarily put off by that because they conceded to Newcastle here. Because
yeah.
I think Newcastle were different in the first half. They were rocketed, for a better way of putting it. The forward line's more complicated from Chelsea perspective because Neto still, for me, feels like the better of the cheaper options. Obviously, Palmer's there and he's getting more football. He's building up his minutes. He's coming back. He was great last week with the couple of goals that he scored. But
they didn't have enough of the ball in the first half, did they, Chelsea? No. I mean, Newcastle absolutely swarmed them and took all the possession, all the chances. So Palmer was never in the game. And then actually, you know, he hasn't got a full 90 in him. So maybe that was in Newcastle's heads a little bit. It was like, actually, if we can just dominate in the first 45, Palmer will be off after 15, 20 in the second. And maybe that was part of the game plan. I don't know. But I agree with you. I think Pedro Neto's potentially still there. The Chelsea fixtures, though, let's have a look at them. Villa up next. So, listen, that's a very difficult game, right? Bournemouth at home before they travel to Manchester City and then to Fulham in the sort of West London derby. So that's not a fixture list that's screaming investment from my perspective.
No, and that's what we said, wasn't it, when we were doing content this week. We were like, you know, the Chelsea defence looks great on paper because of all the things that they've done over the course of this season. However, when you look at the fixtures that they have coming up, it doesn't feel like a team that you want to go heavy investing in because the clean sheets don't look likely to be there. I don't think I'd invest in the Newcastle defence either. If you still got Voltomadi, you'd hold.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd buy into Newcastle either, though, right now. I'm not sure where you'd go.
Okay.
Because Gordon hasn't been consistent. We saw a great performance in this one. Will we see that again next week?
If you've got Chow at the back, hold. He's fine to hold.
He's probably fine to hold.
He's probably fine to hold. Yeah, fine. Should Garnacho have been sent off?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
There should have been a lot more red cards than there were this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's just consistency again, isn't it? Because there's, look, we're going to talk about the Xavi Simons one in a minute. But if he gets sent off for that, you've got to send Garnacho off for that one.
But I think I think that's why people are frustrated. Like nobody's saying Xavi's isn't a red card. They're just saying if that is, which it is, then that is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's move it on. We will do the FPL Family Derby. We'll do that in a bit. I'm going to refresh this page actually because I've noticed I loaded it up before the Man United game. There's the Man United score. Okay. Everton 0, Arsenal 1. A Jokeres penalty. All that there was to separate these sides. In actual fact, I don't want to say. Here we go. Another VAR rant. But it's for me the Saliba one at the end on. Who is it? On Beto, is it, at the end?
Yeah, I think it's Beto.
That's a pen. It's a pen. Stop faffing about, refs. That's a pen. It's an absolute nonsense. Having said that, what is young O'Brien doing with his, like, hands up at that sort of level, giving away giving away the pen? I mean, that is a clear pen as well, right?
It is. That one is bonkers because the corner comes in. He's got both hands in the air, both hands touch
just
the ball.
Just mad, isn't it? What's he
and
doing?
He's like, nothing's wrong, ref. Nothing's wrong. And he's pleading his case. And then when... You weren't actually here during this game, so you might not have seen it because you probably saw it on Match of the Day. But Ødegaard's got the ball on the penalty spot, and Mikalenko, Pickford, and Tarkowski are all having a blazing row with the ref. And it's like, what are you arguing about? It's clearly a handball. You've gone to look at it. Anyway, that's beside the point. As a Saka owner.
Yeah, go on.
The penalty's given. And normally, when you have a penalty taker in your team, the Salahs historically, the Canes historically, the Haalands, you're like, great. Here we go. Here come some points.
He's got a history of doing this, though, Saka.
Particularly away from home.
He'll give it to whoever, like, needs it for confidence. And I'm like, come on, man. I need the points. Never mind Jokeres for confidence. I need the FPL points.
First goal in 5 for Jokeres. And it did very much feel like that. It very much felt like Saka was like, right, you need confidence. Because actually, Jokeres was bad in this game, apart from this.
Still sort of coming back, isn't he? Benefit the doubt, maybe.
I think that's kind of you.
All right, okay.
Because Gabby Jesus is coming back and he looked a lot better than when he came on up there. I do think there is a confidence issue there, potentially at the moment. And maybe therefore Saka's right to do what he does from an Arsenal perspective anyway.
Yeah, Skinny Legs and Arnie saying Saka only seems to take them at home. That's something you noticed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he does. He takes most of the penalties that they get at the Emirates and he gives away most of them away from home. And I don't know why that is. When we were talking about it on the official pod many, many months ago, Jules said Saka decides if he wants it or not. And if he wants it, he takes it. And if he wants to give it away, he sees who wants it and he gives it away. And normally that's to Ødegaard. But in this case now with Jokeres there, and obviously Jokeres is a fantastic penalty taker. We shouldn't forget that. has a fantastic record at his old club. So it does seem... It's a frustration, though. As a Saka owner, I'm frustrated by that because that's a big point swing, right? It's the pen scored. It's the three bonus points.
Probably,
it's everything else that comes alongside that. And when you're paying a lot of money for Saka, you do want that level of return. And especially given that Rice gets the assist for that. Now, these are the kind of assists that I have a slight issue with because... He's the guy's handballed it. Really, it's not an assist, is it? The guy's caught the ball, and so why he get? But
it's
it
mad,
is
isn't
what
it?
Is.
Because then Foden doesn't get the assist for the first Haaland goal.
I know,
because the keeper saves it and Haaland puts it in at the second bite of the cherry. But clearly, Foden does a really good job of getting to the byline, cutting it back, finding the big man, and you're
Ends
like, oh,
breaks, right?
No assist for that. Yep. And then Rice gets one for this
because
he's just lumped a corner in, and O'Brien's playing volleyball. It's nonsense.
And
isn't
then
it?
Rice gets 13 points as a result of this,
which I don't begrudge because
actually
the performance was unreal. Like, so the three bonus points going to him in this game, actually from a football perspective,
it's fair.
That's probably fair. Yep. And he gets one for the clean sheet, and he gets the DEFCONs.
Yeah.
All-round amazing performance.
I have no issue with Rice.
All-round amazing performance. So would you then, because there will be a lot of FPL managers, especially last night before the Bruno thing today, there would have been a lot looking at maybe Saka to Rice to free up a bit of money to do other things like Thiago upgrades.
You
Are you on board with that or no?
Well, you can understand it. I personally, it's hard for me because selling Saka always feels horrible because it's not like Saka's... I know people say, oh, he's not doing enough. I get that. I get that at his price point, you would want more. I agree. I want more. However, I'm watching the game. He's so involved. He should get more than
Saka?
He does. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
he's
through
a goal twice. Somehow he doesn't... Neither of them end up in the back of the net. He's so creative. He and Timber, the relationship between Saka and Timber... is unreal. So there's one moment late on in the game. It was the only time the two of them didn't communicate properly. And Saka and Timber go for the same ball. And I was like, one of you just leave it. Yeah. I don't care which one of you puts that in the back of the net. Just one of you do it. And they get in each other's way. And
yeah,
I was
got
like,
you both.
No. It was so annoying.
If one of you wants to touch it before the other puts it in the net, that's also okay.
Yeah. 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 Just one of you pass it to the other, put it in the net. I don't care what happens here, but one of you put it in the back of the net. But it was so frustrating because the link up play was incredible. Saka's balls to Timber, the relationship and the looking for each other, unreal. Which puts me off selling Saka because on a different day, both of them have hauled.
And William Cottell's in the chat. I like this comment, William, because I think I feel a bit like this as well. Like, he says, Rice is such a boring pick, though, and I'm not that sort of manager. I don't want to go for Rice. Listen, William, I'm with you 100%. Saka is a much more exciting pick than Rice, but do you know what's also exciting?
3 million.
FPL points.
Yeah.
And 3 million in your bank. And I'm like, if Rice is going to piss points, like 11 at a weekend just for getting some dodgy assists off a corner, and he tops it up with DEFCONs and stuff like that, which Saka... I'm not going to say never gets because he has got DEFCONs once, I think, this season, but it's very rare. You'd back Declan over Saka for DEFCON, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So in a world where, I mean, if there was confirmation that, you know, Saka's no longer on pens and it's Gyökeres, it'd be an easy sell, wouldn't it?
I don't know if it'd be easy, but it would be easier.
Much easier, yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough. I hear you though, William. I hear what you're saying. You know, Rice just feels like a boring pick, but those that have got him in their team will tell you, they'll be looking at the app right now, looking at 11 points and going, I ain't bored with that. I'm not bored with that. I'm very happy with that, right? So I don't mind it. If those of you that are looking or did last night look at Saka to Rice to free up money, I'm here to tell you I'm not against it. I'm totally not against it. But you're right, it is hard, almost like it's some sort of like mental block that says, I don't want to sell probably the best player.
Because I think your eye
probably
te-
at the best team in the league.
Yeah, and watching the eye test of Saka makes you go, he's by far and away their most creative player, and I want him.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Everton now, though, just a quick word on them, because we said, I think, last week that you don't want to go for Everton necessarily against Arsenal, but actually the fixtures look pretty good from now on. It's Burnley and then Forest away, Brentford at home, Wolves at home, Villa away. So the next four in particular for Everton look really good. It is... one of the main reasons I didn't sell Tarkowski this week. I've kept him, benched him this week, which is fine because he didn't get much out of this game. I think he might have even got booked. He's now on 4 bookings, by the way.
Oh,
so there's a reasonable chance that he gets another booking and misses, like, I don't know, you know, Wolves at home or something. If he missed that game,
we're nearly
devastated.
He's just got to be, good.
Yeah, but I have kept him. And the reason I've kept him is because I think Everton defence over the next four could be a bit of a differential. I think going into this week, I could see a lot of people looking at this game week 18 coming up and going, well, I'm going to get a Keane, I'm going to get a Tarkowski. Now, everyone's attention is going to be diverted towards Bruno, and I want rid of Thiago, and I might want Ekotike, and I might want Rodgers. So we're all going to be looking at that end of the pitch. And I don't think there's going to be as many FPL managers that have got the luxury of bringing in a Michael Keane or a Tarkowski.
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of managers that have still got a lot of their five free transfers.
Really? Okay.
And I think, you know, there will be a lot of managers, I think, that will look at, not Virgil, because he's got Wolves this week, but there'll be a lot of managers that are looking at those kind of mid-priced defenders that aren't really performing, or even your cheap defenders like Mickey, who aren't really performing, and go, well, I've got Michael Keane available and I've got Tarkowski, so whichever price point I'm in, I can go there. And if I'm actually just 0.5 short, a 5 million-ish down to Michael Keane.
Would you go Keane or Tarkowski if you were picking one? Or a different Everton defender?
I would, straight choice right now, I'd pick Keane, only because I think you only really need him for about 4 or 5 weeks.
Right, okay.
And Branthwaite is on the way back, but they will cover him in cotton wool, and rightly, because given he came back last time and was out again,
yeah,
I think Michael Keane will get a decent amount, probably all of the game time over the next few weeks. He might miss sort of 10 minutes, 15 minutes here or there. So given it's only till then, and then we get into January, and we've got a new wild card, and.
Yeah, sure.
I think I would go Keane because budget feels like it's tighter now.
Totally.
All these bigger premium ones, I mean, maybe it's less with Bruno's injury, but I still think we're there. One more thing on Everton, though, because those fixtures are nice. The fixtures that they have coming up are nice. And when Bruno went down, well, limped about, and then went off, the first thing I thought was, shall I get Jack Grealish? Because
Jack Grealish?
Because the fixtures, like when you look at the fixtures that Everton have coming up,
yeah,
they're there for somebody to take the scruff of the neck of these games. And Grealish absolutely feels like that player for them because they're without a lot in Ndiaye and with Keane and Dewsbury Hall injured. And he's a proper leader, isn't he? So they've got a couple of leaders at the back in Pickford and Tarkowski.
Yeah.
And he's their kind of leader up top. And watching this game, they weren't great moving forward. They actually looked a lot better when Beto came on, weirdly, that he improved them. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets to start in the next one. And his connections with Grealish were quite nice. So it was one of those that I thought, well, maybe there's an opportunity here for a targeting of fixtures in a position that I wouldn't normally have been able to do because there's no way I would have sold Bruno otherwise.
No. Okay.
So he's on my radar. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Well, is he radar and you're going to buy him though? Because like you say, these fixtures start now.
Well, I'm going to have to do something with Bruno. Mm. So there's a couple, and we'll talk about the other couple that I did make a slide. There are a couple of others that are on my radar, and we'll talk about them when we do Bruno later.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll just have to choose between them.
Yeah. All right, let's move it on. Let's do the two Manchester teams then. Let's do let's do Bruno then. Let's do it. Let's do Villa 2, Manchester United 1, which we've just watched. I thought Villa were very, very good again. I thought Rodgers was unbelievable again. I think if you look at his XG for the last three goals that he scored, I think it's 0.0 something for each of those, right?
Yeah.
Because he's just
worldies.
Scoring bangers and worldies, right? Which again, as a potential for me, that's potentially looking at getting him in now. And I know the fixtures, right? I know the fixtures. Have a look
Chelsea
at the have a look at these
next,
fixtures for Aston Villa, right? It's Chelsea away, then Arsenal away, before it's Forest and Crystal Palace and Everton. So you would absolutely be forgiven for saying, "Well, Lee, game week 20, that's the entry point, isn't it, for Rodgers?" Unless if you got him, brilliant, well done, enjoy the points, and you're holding, right? But if you haven't got him and you want to buy him, and many will be looking at him maybe as a sort of Bruno Fernandes replacement, game week 20 feels much more comfortable entry point. Well, listen, I think Villa are playing so well, and he in particular is playing so well, I think you can go there. I think that Chelsea and Arsenal fixture, I don't think should hold any fear for Aston Villa at the minute. That is now one defeat, I think, in their last 14 Premier League games.
It's ridiculous.
They've won 10 straight in all competitions.
But it's mad, isn't it? Because at the beginning of the
Insane.
Season, what was it, the first five? They didn't even score a goal. And now they're undefeated. It's madness. And actually, watching this game, it was a weird game in some ways, wasn't it? Because, like, there's no one else at Villa I'd look at other than Rodgers. Is there for you?
No, I don't think so.
Which is weird, isn't it? Because, yeah, like, you've got this team.
It's just the main man, isn't he?
Yeah, but you've got this team on a fantastic run, playing well. All right, the next two fixtures aren't great, but then they are really nice from 20 onwards. But I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, no. Mm. It's Morgan Rodgers or no one.
Yeah, he was top for, he was joint top, actually, or actually second. So it was Keane Lewis Potter was top for XG overachievers.
As Max would say, who?
Yeah, but Rodgers was second. He had an XG of 0.65, but of course got the two goals. So that's a delta of 1.35. So he is, and continues to, because we've seen it in previous weeks, he does overachieve his XG. He is scoring bangers. He is scoring worldies. But that is the confidence of the kid right now. And if you watch, and I often do this, you guys know I do this. I, you know, when the full-time whistle goes, I think those of you that go and make a cup of tea or change the channel, I think you've got to at least watch the sort of 5 minutes that comes after that, right? Because there's so much raw emotion after full-time whistles in the Premier League.
That's why you never leave a game early if you're at them. Watch what happens at the end of the match.
Yeah, and you get a lot of insight, I think, when you're watching it on TV in particular, because the TV cameras like zoom in on a lot of the faces of the players. Did you see, I think it was Rodgers, and I think it was Onana or maybe some other player, the interaction with the crowd?
Well, he was doing that after his second goal, was it? He went right up to the, I know they go and celebrate near the crowd, but he was like properly G'ing them up as if to say, like, we got this. Like, maybe it's the first one.
But
sure.
It's like he was like, Onana, if it was Onana, was kind of pushing him towards the crowd and being like, you know, doing that with the crowd. Oh, and then pushing him towards him, the crowd going, hey. It's like, he is such main character energy at the minute, Rodgers.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, unbelievable. So I think any of you that are looking at him as a Bruno Fernandes replacement, I do not mind it at all. And I might even go there myself. You know, I might even go there myself, despite the fixtures, despite the XG overachievement. All the red flags are there for us in FPL.
Yeah.
Right? In FPL, we go, Chelsea, Arsenal next. Oh, he's overachieving his XG.
Yeah.
But I'm as much a stats and fixtures guy as I'm an eye test guy, and this guy is just passing it. He is just the main man.
But I think that this is the perfect example of, like, we've just talked about Grealish, who I'm thinking about. Rodgers is another one that I'm thinking about, but for totally different reasons. So Grealish I'm looking at simply because the fixtures have swung. They've swung for the better. Everton look like they should get some wins, some points should come. He's pretty much their main creator. He's very important to the way they play. Flip of that, I've got Rodgers, who hasn't got great fixtures for the next 2 weeks. In fact, he's probably got two of the hardest fixtures that he's going to face, and they're both away from home, I think.
Two good defences, you know.
Against two good defences in the league this season. But he's massively passing the eye test right now. So it's like, it's very difficult because you are talking about like chalk and cheese in terms of those two picks.
Totally.
But
it's
like the one feels like I could wait. And the way my brain works, it goes, oh, we could have Grealish for these two difficult ones for Villa and try and get some points out of Grealish because he's got fantastic fixtures, and then switch him out for Rodgers when it swings in 20. Like, Rodgers, in my head.
Rodgers feels like a pick. Grealish feels like a punt to me.
Yeah, but I think,
not a bad punt, just a punt.
And I think if, bring up the little slide that I made, the little Bruno replacement slide.
Okay.
So I think you're looking at punts or you're looking at a set and forget. Rodgers feels like a set and forget. You could get Rodgers in, you could leave him there for the next 20 weeks, probably.
Maybe.
Barring injury, if Villa continue on the way that they are. I've similar feels for Saka and Rice, depending upon which way you want to go. And that's if you've got a space for Arsenal in your team.
Mm.
The other two that are on that list, and I didn't put Grealish on there because I've lost the chat. I've not done a very good job setting that slide up, have I? Look.
Oh, that's probably me, actually.
No, it's my bad. I thought I copied it over there. Maybe I didn't. Sorry, chat.
Sorry. We can fix this.
The other two, Wirtz and Cunha, both feel very punty. Cunha, maybe less so than Wirtz, because Cunha had, over the last couple of weeks, we've started to see returns from him.
Mm.
My issue with Cunha a little bit, and sorry United fans, is I actually don't know what United are going to look like.
So let's have that conversation. That's a really good conversation, because there will be a lot of FPL managers looking at Bruno Fernandes to Cunha.
Yeah.
Like, that will definitely be, and it's on my mind as well, no doubt.
Because he's been performing as well, Cunha.
No doubt, he's been performing as well. What did you make of his performance today when Bruno was on the pitch in the first half and then in when Bruno was off the pitch in the second half? Because I saw a big difference and I'd like to know whether you saw the same thing.
Okay, let me come to that in just a second. Let me just say this one thing first. When going into this week, there was a lot of should we keep Bruno narrative anyway from a lot of people, because there was a lot of conversations around the premiums and how you afford everybody and should you sell somebody.
Right.
And I kind of, and it came because of that Ahmad and Bomo jetting off to AFCON conversation. So there was a lot of like, are Manchester United actually going to be any good when you take those two out? And in the first half of the game today, I didn't feel like... You noticed that they weren't there, but I didn't think it was terrible. And I was kind of like relatively comfy that it was okay.
Sure.
And I thought Cunha was fine. Bruno's the leader. So when Bruno's on the team, he's directing traffic. He's the important one. The second half, when Bruno goes off, I did think that Cunha and Mount stood up a bit. And they were a bit more... They piqued my interest a little bit more.
Yes.
But I just worry that... Last season, Spurs had a lot of injuries a lot of the time.
Mm.
And when you start taking out mainstays in the starting 11, lots of them, and your captain...
Well, he's that everything goes through him. Like, Bruno is the man at Manchester United. We've seen it in the FPL points. We've seen it in the eye test. We see it in the stats. He's everything for them. He's the engine room. He's everything. So are they weaker without him? Yes, undoubtedly. Yes.
Mm.
But I agree with you. There was something about Cunha's performance. Mount as well, I agree. But I just want to focus on Cunha for a minute. What I saw from Cunha in the second half was a bit more of that Rodgers-y main character energy. I saw a little bit of the Cunha of Wolves coming back. And you remember when we all bought Cunha when he was at Wolves? And we all bought him because Wolves were absolute guff.
But he was scoring.
But he was great. And he would carry that team on his back on his own. And he kept them up, more or less.
Yeah.
And Aitnori, as a couple, there was a supporting cast. But let's be honest, it was the Cunha show. And for me, in that second half today, it felt a bit more like the Cunha show. And I do wonder whether, with Bruno not there for a few weeks, whether Cunha does take that step up. Listen, he's got experience. He knows how to carry a crap team on his back.
Yes, that's true. He does. That is absolutely fair.
And he could be on pens now?
Yeah.
I mean, probably, yeah. I mean, who else would take him? Mount, maybe?
Sesko?
Well, he barely plays Sesko.
He's going to have to play.
Almost certainly be, couldn't you, wouldn't it? Almost certainly.
Yeah, but that is my sort of issue with Manchester United, is that I'm looking at that team now. Defensively, I wouldn't touch them. They're conceding a lot, so I wouldn't go there.
Yeah, yeah.
The attack has been obliterated in terms of the ones you would go to, because it was all about Mbomo a few weeks ago, and obviously it's all been about Bruno for a while now. I honestly worry about Manchester United for that, because it's Newcastle up next on Boxing Day.
Yeah. At home, though, at Old Trafford. And then Wolves at home in 19. That's the one, isn't it?
Well, that is the one. That's the one. That is the one. But the Newcastle game... I don't know, Lee.
Mm.
I really honestly don't know how I feel about...
Well, maybe the strategy then is to... hold then, to not get Cunha for that Newcastle game, see how he plays, and then if you like him, bring him in for Wolves. But the problem with that is the market won't wait.
No.
You're going to lose 0.2 on Bruno, and you're probably going to lose a 0.1, 0.2 on Cunha.
Yeah. Yeah.
So by waiting for that Newcastle game and delaying the decision until the Wolves game, which is a perfectly viable strategy if any of you are thinking about
that,
it's going to cost you 0.4 probably.
I'm not sure that Cunha goes up by 0.2, because I think
but Bruno's going to go down by 0.2.
Oh, for sure. But I think where people go from Bruno will be quite spread out. And I think it will be. Some will go for Cunha. Yes, absolutely. Some will go to Rodgers. Some will take some punts on players like Grealish. And some, and we'll come to him later when we talk about the FPL Family Derby, but some will go for a little punt on Verts, because the next two fixtures for your lot are lovely.
Yeah, all right.
And everyone's injured. So again, much like with Cunha, feels like an opportunity.
I think the Manchester United supporting fan base of FPL players will do Bruno to Cunha. And that's a big part of the FPL fan base, isn't it? It's a big part of the FPL user base is Man United fans. And they'll just go like for like.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, none of them are going for Verts. I'll tell you that much.
Well, that's true. But also, you've got a gap. So yeah. Yes, you might lose point two, okay. But you've got a gap. You can wait.
Okay. All right. You mentioned us then. Let's do this and let's get on with the...
Oh, you want to talk about Man City next?
No, we'll do them in a minute. Spurs 1, Liverpool 2. After you.
There's a lot of talking points in this one.
Oh, yeah, you reckon?
I don't really know which one we should start with. Xavi. Let's start with Xavi.
Oh, my God, there's a lot of talking points.
Let's start with Xavi.
You could say that.
It's definitely a red card. I have no issues with the fact it's a red card.
It's a really stupid one.
He's just...
Like, there's not a part of me that says he's going out to recklessly injure his mate from Holland, right?
No, not at all.
There's not a part of me that just goes, well, he's not trying to like rake his studs down the back of Van Dijk's car.
He immediately apologised on socials as well for it.
So why then?
Well,
it's a stupid red. I don't understand it.
I think we were frustrated at the beginning of the game. We wanted to play a certain style of football. That was very clear. We came out with a game plan and your style of play... was slowing stuff down. You were frustrating us. We were.
It weren't a good game up until the red card, was it?
No, it wasn't.
It weren't a good game at all.
And we wanted to play. It was very clear from the frustration in our players, and I think in Xavi particularly, that he wanted to speed things up. He was peed off that everything was so slow and boring.
Mm.
And I think he just thought, right, I'm going to go and win that ball. And he just went and recklessly went in. And whether he thought he was closer... Whether he forgot that Virgil's about 5 foot taller than him and his leg stride is longer and he just missed it. I've no idea. But it's a red card, 100%.
Okay.
When that happens, the game obviously changes because we're a man down, which obviously changes things. It changed the way that the game played out. But it was still pretty boring.
Do you think it changed your approach to the game?
I think it pissed off a lot of Spurs players. I think we went into the second half, we just looked a bit like beaten before we'd even been beaten, if you know what I mean. We were still 0-0 and we looked like some of them just looked a bit.
I think you're right. I think it did frustrate the Spurs players and I don't think they dealt with it very well.
Well, I think part of the issue was that once he got sent off, we were then in a position where our formation in attack went out the window.
Mm.
And I was like, you weren't with me, thankfully. But I said to Evie, who was with me, the best thing he could do here would be to put Richarlison on at half-time.
Mm.
Because Richarlison will speed things up. He'll harry around. He'll be annoying. And in a way that Kola Muani, who, by the way, I'm starting to low-key like.
Okay.
But he doesn't do that. That's not him. He's a big, strong centre-forward. He's not a pain in the arse like Richarlison is. And I just felt that game, like your defence, we know that your defence, and I think that was the point, is that they all had gone into the game clearly going, well, Konate, you can get out. We can get a mistake out of this team. So go and be annoying. And I think that's what Xavi was trying to do. And it just backfired.
Mm.
So we get into second half. You go goal up. Fine. Fair enough. On the run of play, it's probably deserved. I don't think the second one should have stood. I think it's a foul.
You've seen him given for fouls, yeah. Because he puts both hands on Romero. So it's like, yeah, you can see why Romero is a bit upset with it. Yeah, you can.
I think it's a foul. Yeah. I don't think it should stand. It puts Romero... So at this point now, Romero's lost it. Because he's lost it about the first red card. Because weirdly, the whole stadium seemed to think it wasn't a red card when it was. Romero thinks it's not. He's arguing with the ref. Then this happens and he's really annoyed now because he's given away... He feels he's been fouled. The goal stands. They're frustrated. And then there's like 20 minutes of chaos. And it is just chaos where it looks like we've got 11 men and you've got 9 because we're just everywhere being really annoying, but in a like really low-key, ridiculous way. It's not like organised attack. It's just...
So
it's like we've gone to war and we're just chaotically fighting everything.
I agree with you. I think you're right. Romero was frustrated. And I think as captain, what he needs to do is actually control his emotions and make sure Spurs get back in the game. But instead, he turned it into an all-out war.
But
as captain, you have to take a deep breath and go, right,
yeah,
let's get back into this game in the right way. But instead, he barks around the pitch like a lunatic. And of course, that then the rest of the team then go into lunatic mode. He then gets a second yellow card for kicking out at Konaté. I mean, what's it? This is the captain. I mean, I've never seen a liability like it. Now, I've come on here before and I've said how good he is as a defender. When his head's in the game, I don't think there's many better. When he has a good game, him and Van de Ven are up there, absolutely up there. But when his emotions get the better of him, it permeates throughout the whole team as a captain's attitude would. And your boys just lost it. And I think Romero was the catalyst.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I think Richarlison comes on in that mood. And I think because it comes from above, I think, because we're all in attack. It's not really Romero. He's not there. He does not help. He does not help. But I think it's Richarlison that starts it because he's lost his mind before he's even entered the field. Then the goal
goes
in. He's
just a little rat against us.
Everton thing.
It's playing against us. He's just a rat.
It's the Everton thing. So the goal goes in. And I thought,
yeah.
Do you know what? This has gone so bat crazy, this game. I nearly swore. That we might end up getting something out of it. And that's where I became really frustrated about the other Ekitike goal. Because one, it had cost me an FPL because people had brought him in. And two, it was a foul, in my opinion. So we get towards the back end of the game. And actually, for the last sort of 5-10 minutes or so, you were properly under the cosh. And what's really...
Well, we panicked.
Really frustrated. You did panic. And what really annoyed me is that Romero decision. Because he's up there. He wins us a free kick in a really, really good position. All he's got to do... is get up and walk away from it. And he has a moment, he kicks out, he gets a yellow. So now he's sent off, now he's going to miss the game next week. So that means we've got to play Danso alongside or Ben Davis or however we're going to manage it. But now we're without him. At the same time, we're without Xavi. In the end, I thought we were a little bit unlucky not to get something out of the game because I don't think the second goal should have stood. And because in that last 20 minutes, you were panicking and we were on top. However, it was bonkers, is my view.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the other things that happened in that game that I didn't talk about. So Szoboszlai picks up his fifth yellow card.
Yeah, so he's suspended for the Wolves game.
There's two ways of looking at this. If you're a Liverpool fan, you're probably thinking, well, if you're going to be banned on, I'd rather it be against Wolves. If you've got him in FPL, you're fuming because you want him for the Wolves game.
Yes.
So that's happened. And then... Mickey's had an accident and upset Isak, and it now looks like he might have broke his
Mickey's
leg.
Mickey's had an accident upset Isak.
It was an accident.
Right, I've got to get this off my chest, right? So you've had a long old chat about Spurs there, right? So now you've got to allow me something. I wrote down, when I was watching the game, and I made sure I checked it again, I wrote down all of the petulance from Spurs, right? So when Romero's head goes... So when the red card happens and you guys lose your heads, here's what happens after that. So the Simon's red, right?
Hang on, you went to the pub writing this down?
Yes. So I was in the pub watching this. We weren't together. We went in the pub. So Simon's gets sent off. That's a red card, right? I wouldn't even call it petulant. It's a stupid red, but it is serious foul play, so it's a red. The next thing that happens is Van de Ven wipes out and breaks Isak's leg, right? He didn't have an accident and upset Isak. He scissored him, like when Pickford scissored Van Dijk and Van Dijk was out for 8 months. That's what Van de Ven has done to Isak. And now reports today are that Isak is now out for several months because he's broken his
leg.
Why
have you got so angry?
Because I'm telling you about how I thought Spurs lost this game. And you're not the first Spurs fan to tell me this over the last couple of days we got unlucky because Ekitike was a foul on Romero. Well, actually, there's quite a lot of other things that made you lose this game. Van de Ven breaking Isak's leg. Right, so
that doesn't make us lose this game.
I'm just saying it's part of the petulance. And what I'm saying is the petulance and the lack of emotional control cost you this game, and that was part of it. So Van de Ven goes diving in on Isak. If Isak doesn't score, it's a red and a penalty. Has to be a red for Van de Ven. That it's a shocking tackle. Then Richarlison, when he scores the goal, notice if you haven't seen this, go and look at the replay. He goes over to Ekitike and he pushes Ekitike's head into the floor.
When he held him,
cheers Richarlison. So that's yellow. If not, I don't know why VAR are not looking at that. For me, that is endangering an opponent because he's pushing his head into the floor. You've seen reds given for less. So potentially that's a red for Richarlison. after that, somebody, I can't remember who, elbows Frimpong in the mouth. And Frimpong's walking around with a bloody mouth, right? The ref, who had lost control of the game by this stage, is allowing Spurs and Liverpool
it's
to continue
to
play on.
Have you seen the replay?
Okay,
it's
but
it's not
got...
an elbow. He actually goes into his arm. Frimpong... puts his mouth into him.
Frimpong's mouth.
And then Frimpong sits on the floor.
He headbutted the player's elbow.
He's got a tiny cut on the inside of his lip. And he's like, he's been... Honestly, I thought that Frimpong had been in World War II the way he reacted.
Right, so Frimpong's got a bloody mouth, but it's his fault for mouthing onto the guy's elbow.
Yeah.
Then Romero kicks out a Canate, second yellow, that's a red. And then right at the end, Bentancourt... the cheapest shot I've ever seen on Kirkus. Like, Kirkus is going down the wing and he just not even thinking about getting the ball and just completely wipes him out at neck height.
Okay.
Which is like, I think that's serious foul play and potentially a red. So I'm saying Simon's a red. Van der Ven, if Isak doesn't score, is a red. Richarlison endangering Ekotiko by pushing his head into the floor. That's a red. The Frimpong one, I'll allow. Romero gets a red.
I'll allow.
And then Bentancourt, potentially, is definitely a yellow, potentially a red. You should have had four players sent off.
Are you right?
And what I'm saying is, all these Spurs fans that are coming out with the, well, he put 2 hands on his back, and I don't disagree with that, but that's not why you lost the game. You lost the game because your captain lost his head, and the whole team lost their heads.
Hang on. Because if that goal doesn't stand, the game plays out as a 1-1 draw. None of the stuff you've just mentioned makes any difference. We still go and get a draw with you.
You went to war with us. Absolute war with us. We've got £130 worth of striker. We've got a broken leg. Because Van der Ven's gone in with him with a scissor kick. It's unbelievable.
No, he hasn't gone in with a scissor kick. You're making it sound like we went out there and went... So you've just made it sound like Thomas Frank stood in the dressing room and went, right, boys, today our job is to go...
I'm not blaming Thomas Frank for any of this, by the way.
Romero is the fault. Oh, for God's sake.
Romero's the problem. It's not Thomas Frank.
Are you all right?
I'm just saying that's why you lost the game. You were disgraceful. You lost your heads. And the lack of discipline was outrageous. I've not seen anything like it all season.
Wow.
Not seen anything like it all
season. You have lost your tiny mind.
Let us know in the chat what you thought. Have I lost my tiny little mind?
Yes, you have. And also, by the way, how sad that you sit in a pub on a night out with your friends and make a note in your in your phone of all the things. That's absolutely bonkers.
Shall I tell you why I did that as well? Because all the Spurs fans I was watching it with at 2-0,
no,
fucked off.
So that's why you're annoyed.
I'm sitting there on my own.
Yes, that's why you're annoyed. That's why you're annoyed. Not because of Spurs. That's ridiculous.
I think on another day, Spurs have four reds.
Have you remembered that this is an FPL live stream and you've said nothing about FPL?
Okay. Here's something you can say about FPL. Don't buy any Spurs players. The second bit I could say about FPL is now.
We're living your head rent free.
Because I'm watching that game thinking about, I'm worried about the welfare of my players.
Oh, be quiet.
I'm worried about the welfare of my players because Spurs lost it.
No, you're not.
And the ref had nothing to do with it.
Absolute nonsense. You came home blinding drunk and don't remember what you told me. So you weren't worried about the welfare of your players.
Do you remember the last time that referee, what's his name, that ref? Can't remember. But that ref was the same ref in what game? Last game that he refed at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Probably the one where he sent off the wrong player.
The one where you played Chelsea and you all lost your heads. Against Chelsea. Remember that game?
Listen, I think you've lost your head.
Well.
Not the Spurs players. I think you've lost your head.
Well.
The point is...
All this... Oh, well, it wasn't... The second goal was a foul on Romero, so that's why we lost it. No, you lost it because emotional ill-discipline was awful.
Nobody has said that. I haven't sat here and said we lost the game because of that goal.
I've never seen ill discipline like it. It was horrendous. It's horrendous. What do you think about Ekotiko then? Because you obviously didn't think it was a goal. So
no, I think the Ekotiko owners were lucky to get points.
Okay. So Isak
very
now,
lucky.
Because of Van der Ven's ill discipline, Isak's now out for several months.
Van der Ven's not got ill discipline.
He did in that moment.
No, he didn't.
He did.
It's just a tackle, Lee.
It's
just a tackle.
It's a bad one.
No, it's not.
Isak's out for like 5 months.
That's not his fault. It's just a tackle. I could put a tackle in on you, break your leggy back for a year. It wasn't me. You know, I'm being violent and aggressive and going into war with you. It's just a badly timed one.
Are you getting Ekotiko in FPL?
No.
No. Okay, fine. Why not?
Because I can't get the money.
I think for any of you thinking about getting Hugo Ekotiko in FPL.
Are you?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
What? Right. Yes. Answer me another question.
What?
If Bruno Fernandes doesn't get injured, are you getting Ekotiko?
Yes, but in a very different way. But now, that's why I'm glad I didn't go early with my transfers yesterday.
Hang on, are you saying you're glad Bruno Fernandes has got injured so it saves you a problem? Are you being violent and going to war with Manchester United?
What if you
is that what's
listen to what
here?
I just said, is I said I'm glad I didn't go guys. Early with my transfers because it's changed my transfer strategy.
I thought you were being violent and aggressive and losing your mind.
I absolutely, if I'd have been at home last night watching just the football and being on my phone, I'm pretty sure I'd have done Saka to Rice and done Thiago to Ekitike last night. But last Saka night, I was drunk. And I didn't even get my phone out of my pocket because I'm having such a lovely time.
No, you weren't. You were sat in a pub by yourself making notes on your phone. So you weren't having a lovely time, were you? You were sat in a pub on your own making notes on your phone. So not really having a lovely time.
I did it knowing, like, we're going to be honest, I was like, I know you are going to be defending Spurs. And I thought it was a disgrace. So
you're
I thought,
a disgrace.
I've got to write this down.
In fact, I think you're a bigger disgrace for sitting on your phone when you're supposed to be out on a Christmas night out with your mates.
I was on my own then.
That's your problem. That is right. Your problem.
People are saying time to move on. It is, but you're not getting Ekitike because you don't.
Because I've already made a transfer.
You've already done. So you did go early. So you can't get him now unless you do minus fours and stuff. Whereas I absolutely am going to get him for the Wolves game. And I might even captain him. But anyway, this game, yeah, nothing to talk about from a Spurs perspective. How are you going to... You've got no Romero now for next week and Xavi Simons for 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's not a problem, is it, Xavi?
Okay, fine.
Just play Richarlison and Kona Mwani, it's fine. Richarlison's Romero's a bigger issue for sure. We'll just have to play Danso.
Okay. Anything else from a Liverpool perspective that you'd like to look of? Because the fixtures...
Well, we should talk about Verts, which is how you started talking about this in the first place.
Because the fixtures
war.
Are still pretty good. Wolves, Leeds, Fulham, Arsenal away, and then Burnley at home. So except for game week 21, Liverpool fixtures are pretty good. That's why I'm getting Ekitike. You like Verts, though? Go on.
Well, I don't... I mean, that's extreme. I don't think I like Verts, no.
What did you make of his performance in this game?
I thought he was all right.
There weren't any Spurs players that assaulted him. So he probably wasn't all right.
Well, no, he wasn't assaulted because he was not really in the game.
He wasn't assaulted because Spurs couldn't get near him. He was that good in this game. What game were you watching? Verts was unbelievable.
Oh, shut up.
He was so good in this game. Yeah. You've got no idea, have you? You don't know a decent player when it smacks you in the face. He was brilliant, Verts, in this game. Did he get a free bonus? I've got to have a look. Free bonus for Verts on the back of one assist. There's a reason for that, because he's absolutely brilliant again, right? Absolutely brilliant.
Again?
And I think...
Hang on, when was the other game you think he was absolutely brilliant?
He's been good for a few weeks now. Very good. Yes, he has.
Has he?
Okay. You just don't watch him enough. If you wanted to go from Bruno to Verts... Is that a move that you'd have a look at? You clearly would, because you put him on your Bruno replacement slide.
Well, the next two fixtures are lovely. So I still have it in my head that game week 20 feels like quite a pivot point for a lot of fixtures, for a lot of teams.
Right.
And so I'm So in my head, I'm like, well, I feel like for game weeks 18 and 19, given it's got to be I've got to take a minus four for this now as well, because of Bruno...
I'm interested to see what you've done early. I'm very interested to see that in a minute. Go on.
Well, I wasn't going to tell you anything until this happened today. I was going to just drop it into the stream. I was really pleased with it. I was happy. I was like, right, I've done that. I've got rid of that fraud, that Brentford fraud.
Careful, George is in.
It's all right. George knows I think he's a fraud. Since I've owned him...
Penalty-taking fraud. Essential 3 weeks ago. He's a penalty-taking fraud.
He is pointless. Literally pointless. Well, maybe 2 points every week. Pointless. So I wanted rid of him. But now I've got this Bruno-shaped problem. So now I'm looking at it thinking, well, if I want to do something that's going to be like a two-week punt, then Jack Grealish is an option. Or Florian Wirtz is a problem. Is a possibility. Because the fixtures feel like they're the nicest for the Merseyside sides over the next couple of weeks. So they've definitely got some potential before I want to flip to Rodgers.
Fine.
For 20.
Okay, fine.
So I am looking at it. I don't love it. I definitely feel like I've been... I can't think what the right phrase is, but done over by Wirtz before. Held him too long when he was terrible at the beginning of the season. I don't know how I feel about it. I also don't know how, like, it's Wolves, right, so fine, but I don't like Liverpool so much without Szoboszlai. You've lost another forward now, thanks to Mickey van der Ven and his violence, apparently. So now you're another man down up top, which, I don't know. I kind of feel like the whole world is going to bring in an Ekitike this week. And I'm not going to do that.
She's going to be popular.
So should my option actually just be to cover out potential Liverpool...
All right.
Potential Liverpool goals against Wolves.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right, we've got to move it on, Sam. That was far too long talking about Spurs.
That was mostly you.
We've got to move on from Spurs. Yeah.
It's a good job you were out in the pub by yourself making notes because you'd have been thrown out.
I'd have been fuming watching that game at home with you. I would not have been able to control my emotions.
Fuming.
Absolutely disgusting from Tottenham Hotspur. Manchester City, West Ham.
Such a loser.
City 3, West Ham 0. We now need to rattle through these games quickly. Haaland's a goat.
Should we all sell Foden? Is he broken?
Nah,
is the purple patch over?
Nah, come on. He should have had an assist for that first one, shouldn't he? I know by the rules it's not, but he's unlucky.
But I say that question in jest because I actually have had a lot of that question over the last like 24 hours.
Yeah.
Is, well, is he broken now? Because you, and by you, they mean like generally content creators, all talk about all the time how when the purple patch ends for Foden, get off.
Nah, but he was still good. He passed the eye test massively.
And I said on, I can't remember where, so Instagram, I think yesterday, I have to watch Match of the Day on this one because it wasn't a TV game in the UK. So I need to watch Foden because if Foden's terrible, then yeah, maybe. But he was damn unlucky. He is so unlucky that he's not returned in this game. Not just the first assist either. There's other things he should and could have easily got. So don't rage transfer out Foden just because he's blanked. And I know that there were a lot of managers that also tried to be a bit different and give the triple captain to him. And that's just really unlucky if you did do that in the end.
I think there'd be more that hold him now because I think if the, again, going back to the sort of power three thing that we discussed last week with the Fernandes and with the Foden and with the Saka.
That's true. You always
you look at them through and you go, well, who could I downgrade to get my Thiago to Ekitike or to get to anybody else that you might want? And there for sure would have been people, I'm one of them, looking at sort of Foden to Cherky to save a bit of money so I can do a Thiago upgrade. But I won't do that now because now Bruno's the obvious transfer out because of the injury.
Yeah.
So I think, if anything, it will just... I wasn't thinking of selling Foden anyway, I don't think, because of the three. He's the one passing the eye test for me week in, week out at the moment.
Yeah.
So I think even more will now stick with him. Anything else from a City perspective that you like the look of here? I think in the second half, West Ham had some chances, right? Had some chances. And Donnarumma in particular, there was a double save, wasn't there, in the middle of the second half.
Phenomenal double save.
Very, very good, which kept the O'Reilly clean sheet intact, which is good for both of us.
Yeah.
I've got 3 City. I'm going to hold on to 3 City. I thought the way that they pressed against West Ham was fantastic. I know it's West Ham. Sorry, West Ham fans, but you're all over.
Especially, the press was unbelievable.
Yeah, and West Ham didn't play well again, didn't play well. And I wonder whether there was a bit of, you know...
Second half, they played all right,
West
Ham.
Yeah, it's better.
Somerville, I thought, was actually low-key all right, second half. Like, the second half, City looked okay. West Ham looked okay.
I feel like for this next run of West Ham, and we've got to have a look at this, right? This run of West Ham. So
these are the games they've got to win.
They are the top of the ticker right now, right? Fulham and Brighton next at home. Wolves away, Forest at home, and then Spurs away in 22. The next, like, 4 or 5 looks so good for West Ham. It's just they don't have the form. But Nuno and the West Ham team have got to have been looking at this City game and gone, right, this is a bit of a free hit, in it, for want of a better phrase. This is a bit of a, we get anything out of this, it's a win, but no one's expecting us to go to the Etihad and get anything.
Yeah.
But that's now out the way. This run coming up, we have to turn our season around. If I'm a West Ham fan, I'm almost like expecting now to beat Fulham at home, to beat Brighton at home, to beat Wolves away. Like, and to that end, there will be, I'm sure, there will be someone in that West Ham side that gets the FPL points over the next few. At the moment, I don't know whether it is a Somerville or whether it's a Bowen or whether it's a Fernandes or whether it's one of the guys at the back. I don't know. I still don't see him keeping that many clean sheets.
You want it to be Potts, don't you?
I don't think it's going to be Potts. Although he had a couple of shots on target in against West Ham, and he did get an assist the week before. I've got him just for money reasons, not because I think he's a good asset over the next few weeks, but the fixtures are there. If he pops up with something, great.
But will you actually play him?
Well, probably not, no. But remember, I've got Guillaume as well, haven't I? So, you know.
Oh, that's true.
I've got, you know.
Yeah. But you could actually just play Potts over Bruno, no?
I could, but I have very low expectations of Potts. He's a holding midfielder, right, in every sense of the word, and he doesn't really get the DEFCONs either, not on a regular basis. No. He's a reason he's 4.4 in FPL. The one I want to talk about, though, and I know he's going to be high on your radar, is Mr. Jared Bowen, right?
Yep.
Definitely one that a lot are going to be looking at, despite them losing this 3-0, and it's at the Etihad, and all that stuff.
He's still in the top 10 for XG underachievers this week with a delta of minus 0.52. So on another day, maybe he gets something at the Etihad and maybe it's 3-1. Maybe we don't keep the clean sheet and everyone's looking at Bowen as their Thiago replacement because he's not as price prohibitive as Ekitike. Ekitike is quite a chunk more change than Bowen, no?
Yeah, well, Bowen's come down in price since the start of the season, whereas Ekitike is gone up. So we have, because actually Ekitike, despite the fact, and we talked about him on the on Sky, didn't we? You know, he had the first five starts, then a couple of sub appearances, then he started a couple, and because over that time he's returned, he's been held and bought. Whereas with Bowen, what's happened is he was quite heavily owned at the beginning of the season, if you remember, because no one was expecting West Ham to be so rubbish.
Mm.
So there was a lot of managers that started the season with Jarrod Bowen. And then because West Ham have just been diabolical, and then they went through the manager change and all of that stuff that's happened, Bowen's ownership has fallen. And as a result of Bowen's ownership falling, his price has fallen. So I think I think he took a price rise last night. So I think he might be 7.8 now.
Okay.
But he was down at 7.7. And, you know, if West Ham are going to get out of danger, and that's a big if.
Has to be in these.
It
fixtures,
has
it?
To be now. There's no time for the future. It has to be now because they've had a difficult run where they've played hard teams.
Do you think Fulham and Brighton are easy games? Are they not?
No, I don't think they're easy games, but I think that they're both defences that you can get out. Yeah, Fulham never keep a clean sheet. They're a bit like Burnley. You think that they should, but they don't. Oh my God, we even talked about that Burnley goal. Fuming at
Broya. Got
Broya.
The Broya goal.
I'm so fuming. I honestly want to strangle him.
But because you don't like him or because you had Senesi?
Because I had Senesi.
Just to clarify.
And he was on for 13 and I was so happy. And I was like,
just to clarify.
Yes. And I said to you, didn't I? You said something about, you're having a good week. And I was like, yeah, it's him, but let's talk about it yet. And you went, why? It's going to be fine. And I said, no, it's Burnley. And about 5 minutes later, they scored. Anyway.
Well, you say on here every week, Burnley always score the odd goal. So when it was 1-0 Bournemouth, I said, you always say, Burnley score the odd goal. So it's coming.
He should have scored right at the end, shouldn't he, as well? The Muppet.
Senesi had a chance, didn't he? He had a chance, yeah.
Anyway, back to West Ham. So this is the time. And I think if you look at these fixtures, everyone in that West Ham team feels punty except for Bowen, because Bowen is involved. Yes. And I said it on Sky show on Saturday morning. If he's on the pitch, he's been involved in 33% of West Ham's chances, be that assists or shots. He is the most important player in that attack. Others come and go and they become part of it. Like actually, Loki Somerville was quite good in this one. Fernandez is sometimes quite good. Potts has been sort of involved a little bit. Pakatar, when he's been fit and available, has been sort of involved a little bit. But Bowen is the consistent.
He's the talisman,
he's
right?
He's the talisman. He's the one that can never leave because he's married into the club now.
So you'd go for... So if you did want to move off of Thiago, you'd go straight to Bowen rather than find the money for Ekitike?
I think it's a close decision and it depends on what you have to do elsewhere. If it means sacrificing somebody major, and I think on Saturday there'd have been a lot of managers that did that because they wouldn't have wanted to have sacrificed Bruno. Maybe now, if you're happy to sacrifice Bruno, it's easier to find the money to get to Wirtz. But I think the fixtures are similar for Bowen and Ekitike in terms of the, you know, who's got the better fixtures.
We're
over
a much better team than them, though. Certainly when it comes to XG as well.
No, I don't disagree. But I also do wonder whether we might see a more of a spread. I do feel like at Liverpool, there's a few players that could get involved in the goal action. Ekitike is probably the most likely, yes, because he's just your forward and
he's the main man at the minute, yeah.
Yeah, but you think Wirtz is decent, he might chip in. Szoboszlai has been known to chip in. McAllister has been known to... Do you know what I mean? Whereas at West Ham, I kind of feel like if West Ham score, I'd be surprised if Bowen's not part of it.
Yeah. Okay. All right, very good. Any other games we won't talk about the Burnley Bournemouth game then. But those of you that held Semenyo, well done.
Time to sell now?
For Bournemouth?
Yeah.
I think probably yes, because the fixtures do look pretty tricky. They are bottom over the next five, or certainly the Fantasy Football Scout fixture ticker has them bottom. Brentford away, Chelsea away, Arsenal, Spurs, and then Brighton away. I think you probably can hold for Brentford, although Brentford are particularly good at home. But then the four after that look tricky, so... Yes, probably.
Yeah.
Yes, probably. But having sold Semenyo a couple of weeks ago and then him scoring out at Old Trafford and then scoring this weekend as well, I feel aggrieved to have sold him. But
he was a bit lucky with this one. I mean, the goalkeeper literally passed it to him.
Yes, he still needs to finish it. But yes, I agree. Yeah, I agree. All right, what games have we not done?
We're not done. We haven't done Brentford and Wolves, have we? Is there much to say about that other than Thiago blanking again? There's not, is there? Because none of us are jumping on Keane Lewis Potter as much as it was a good performance. I suppose if you had Kelleher's 11-pointer, you're happy?
Yeah, with the pen save. Yeah,
very, very good.
Gives away the pen and then makes it better.
Yeah, but for me, the FPL talking point out of this, as much as it is Thiago, was it's just target Wolves, right? It's target Wolves. I mean, it was their performance here today was summed up by the penalty, right? You watch that Strand Larsen penalty.
Really poor.
I know Keller's got to save it, and fair dues, he has saved it.
And
so
he's
good.
Quite good at saving pens, to be fair.
He is. He's good. Oh, he's great. He's a top keeper, right? I love him because he's ex-Liverpool. But I think I probably could have saved that penalty. It was that there was no confidence from Strand Larsen at all.
I think you'd have missed it.
If you compare that to the Jokeres, like Jokeres' penalty was like, bang, out of that. You ain't saving that picture.
The whole goal lifted up.
The goal lifted up. He's just like, bang. Whereas Strand Larsen just sort of like tried to side foot it and it went, it wasn't in the corner. It was at a nice height.
Wolves are in disarray.
Yeah.
Thiago's, I'm done with him.
Okay. Okay. I think you can hold Thiago if you want.
I don't want to.
But I think there's other good options now.
I don't
There's
like
other
it.
Good options.
I just think that they won't win many penalties without Dango there because he's the penalty winning expert. Sure. And as such,
yeah,
I'm not keen.
Yeah. Well, as Nicole's saying in the chat, Wolves did have an XG of 1.27 in this game. You're right, Nicole, but actually 0.82 of that
is the pen.
Was Strand Larsen's penalty. So outside of that, it really wasn't a good day at the office for Wolves, and they're becoming more and more common now, these bad days at the office. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, discuss. Leeds 4, Crystal Palace 1, last game.
Moment of silence for Az.
Moment of silence for Az, selling him 4 weeks ago because he's done nothing but bang in the goals, Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
The best thing about I can't even tell you how many weeks I spent laughing at Az for bringing in Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah.
And then when he needed him on his free hit week, he played him and he didn't play.
Mad.
And then he rage transferred him out, rightly.
Yeah.
And then this has happened. And now the whole FPL community is talking about potentially buying Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Second overall in the game week for underlying BPS, only to Haaland. Calvert-Lewin got 60.
I think...
So good.
This game... Was I surprised? I think I was a little bit that it went the way that it did, given that Glasner had made such a point in midweek of saying... They're tired. If they start midweek, I'm not playing them at the weekend. At the weekend.
He completely put out a whole another 11 in the week, didn't he?
Which sacrificed that game, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they drew it in the end, didn't they? Or did they come back at the death? I can't remember. But
you're right.
Played a fully rotated 11 in Europe on the basis that they had this game at the weekend that they needed to get something from. And it was coming a day early because they also have to play again on Tuesday in the League Cup.
Quick so the game that, for Palace.
Well,
mad.
It was a nightmare because they played Thursday. It should have been the Sunday kickoff. It was scheduled to be Sunday, but they've got to play the League Cup. So now that's moved. This felt like it should have been fine for Palace because he was rotating the squad. Mm. They were done. They're all knackered.
Yeah, but also...
Credit to Leeds. I'm not saying that Leeds weren't good in this game.
Yeah, yeah, and actually, Stacks was the best goal. I mean, that's an unbelievable free kick,
yes,
right in there.
It was great.
But the worrying thing for me, and they pointed out on Match of the Day, was how susceptible Palace were to set pieces. Like, every time there's even a throw-in.
Yeah.
Like, and I know Ampadu's got an amazing throw, but every time there was a corner, every time there was a free kick, every time the ball was coming in the box, Palace shit themselves.
And the one thing I would say, just... touching on Romero for one more minute with in fear of winding you back up again.
Go on.
Is that Danzo will replace him, and Danzo is our long throw expert. So actually given we've got Palace next, they are susceptible from set pieces, and that actually might be something that we can exploit.
Could Danzo's long throw exploit the Palace susceptibility?
Possibly.
Yeah, maybe.
Possibly.
Not that Danzo's there for the pick. It would be whoever gets on the end of him, right?
Well, we might get the assist.
Get assist for a throw, do you?
If you're the last player to touch the ball...
You don't get an FPL assist from a throw-in.
Well, you might get the assist in real life.
Yeah, but you don't get any FPL points for taking a throw-in.
No one's buying Danzo. He's going to play a week. And then Romero's
but that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, God, give me. So what I'm saying is that Danzo being on, good for throw-ins, good. Palace are susceptible, good. But it depends who scores
Well,
from his throw-in. All right, we'll get Richarlison then if you want. But
no, I'm not saying you should.
You'd be pushing people's heads into the turf, right?
No, that's not what I wasn't really. That wasn't saying it from a Spurs perspective. I was more saying that they're susceptible from set pieces. That doesn't really bode well for their defensive numbers against Spurs. That's all I'm saying.
Excellent.
In midweek, particularly as they've got to play again on Tuesday night.
Excellent. All right, let's get on to scores. 79 for me with just Wilson to play. So, yeah, it's not bad. I mean, the triple cap is good, right? I'm happy with the triple caps. And obviously, Haaland with the 48. But the rest of my team reads like this. Raya 7, Timber 6. So the double clean sheet comes in this week. O'Reilly, one of my transfers in this week, he gets the 6 as well. Outside of that, it's a bit thin on the ground, though. Gehi 1, Virgil 2, Saka 3, Foden 3, Fernandes 1. Harry Wilson still to play, Haaland 48, Thiago 2, and then the bench is Dubravka, Tarkovsky, Guiu and Potts, so not a lot there either. So, yeah, listen, it's a bit of a mer week for me, really. In a week where the triple captainship gets played and comes off, to only have a 1.1% green arrow, and it is a green, I'm not whinging, right? It's a green, so fine. 633k I am right now, that's good, and I've got Wilson to come. Not so much of a differential, as you mentioned before, not so much of a differential as he was this time last week,
it's
right?
It's still quite a big differential, though.
No, at my rank, he's about 45% owned now.
Well, it's still going to make, right, a big chunk.
It'd make a difference, but he was about 10% owned last week. So I hope that he can get something out of Forest. But 79 is good. I'll take it. Yeah, what are we going to do for next week, though? There's a potential that I do 3 transfers next week.
How many got?
3. Well, I've got 3
in the
bank.
Oh, yeah, but you've got no money in the bank.
Yeah, where is it? Normally this bus team thing has your transfers and that.
No, go back to the other one.
On that one. Okay, so nothing in the bank but 3 transfers. So let me get. So this is then my bus team for next week. What I am considering is Thiago to Ekitike. I'm absolutely considering that. But I've got to fund it. As I said, nothing in the bank. So I'm going to have to fund it somehow. And the way I'm thinking of funding it is in one of two ways. Either I do Fernandes to Rodgers.
And that's enough to fund it?
That funds it.
Okay.
Or I do Fernandes to Cunha, but that's not enough to fund it. So I would also need to do Tarkovsky to Keane. So I do a sideways move from my Everton defender. Take some money out of Tarko, which feels very sideways, very luxury, but I save thick end of £1 million doing it. So the decision really is, do I want Ekitike? I think that's a tick. The second decision is then, who do I want as my Fernandes replacement? Is it Rodgers or is it Cunha? And what the decision I've got to make is, do I go with the Rodgers is the big character energy, fixture proof, 2 difficult games, but is just on one right now, versus can Cunha be that for Manchester United over the next couple of weeks, given that it's Newcastle and then it's that Wolves game, his old team at Old Trafford. Oh, you just want him for that, don't you? You want him for that. So I haven't made that decision yet. And I haven't looked at the markets either to see who's going up, down, left or right. So I'm hoping that I've got a bit more time to make that decision.
Wild and his wife went yesterday.
There was a lot of movement yesterday and I'm glad I didn't move because now the Fernandes injury is there. But that's why I'm thinking, for sure I want to do Thiago to Ekitike. For sure I want to do that. But if I'm going to do it, I've got to fund it some way. And it could be that I use my 3 transfers to do it. And if I'm going to go, you know, a lot of people would have been going, I think, maybe Saka out for Rice yesterday to fund the Ekitike move. I think that would have been quite popular. But either way, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, taking it all the way back to the beginning, what's good about the Fernandes injury, I think, if he's out for a few weeks, which it sounds like he is that it's going to break up this template a little bit. It's going to be Rodgers. There's going to be Bowen. There's going to be Cunha. There's going to be some different picks knocking around all of a sudden, and I'm here for it.
Rodgers and Cunha both going up tonight.
So I probably do need to make a quicker decision on this than I want to, really, don't I?
You got a 1 on Bruno.
Yeah.
You're right on Bruno. You got a bit more time to do that. But I'm just seeing what he's at now. Fernan.
Mm.
So, yeah, you got 2 days on Bruno.
So because what I want to do is get the Fulham game out of the way, right?
Ekitike will be quite a long way as well because you got 2 days on him as well because he only went up yesterday. Okay.
So I might suck up a Rodgers and or Cunha price rise. So it gives me time, but I'll lose 0.1 out of it. That's fine. I can probably deal with that.
Yes, because you wouldn't get both of them.
Yeah.
So you'd lose 0.1.
Okay. Although this is my bus team for next week, I think some of these fixtures aren't right because Haaland captain against West Ham. I'm pretty sure Haaland is not playing West Ham next week.
Did I not change your fixtures?
I don't think so.
Obviously not.
I don't think so.
Did mine.
All right, let's go to your score then for the week. 82. Very good indeed. Very good.
Well, it was 83 until about 10 minutes ago. When
Who dropped one?
Senesi dropped a bonus point.
Okay.
Raging.
All right. The Senesi trolling continues.
Honestly, how's he gone from 13 to 4? So annoying. Raya with 7, happy with that. He actually swapped bonus points with Timber earlier. Timber lost one, Raya got one. Made no difference because I had them both, so that's fine. O'Reilly came in this week with 6, that was great. Gahey with the 1 was disappointing, but actually was better than everyone else on my bench, so fine. Unless Josh King starts tomorrow, and then I might be cross with myself for not playing him, but what is what it is. The midfield with a disappointment. 3-3-1-1.
Last week when they all went big, it's difficult to take, isn't it?
However, you know, I kind of take heart with the fact that with Bruno Foden and Saka, everyone's got them now. So the fact that they've all blanked is kind of like almost a bit irrelevant because they're so heavily owned everywhere else. Similar with Thiago. Obviously, the triple capped on Haaland paid off. The defence held it up and actually had the Senesi clean sheet when that stuck, or if he'd have just headed down, not up, at the end of that game. That was making the world of difference.
Yeah,
to my team.
9 extra points in this team. But forget the chance he had at the end, but just to bro your goal. 9 extra points in this team would have made a big difference.
It was huge, and it was a massive green at that point. I think
91 then, wouldn't you? Yeah.
I think at one point I was up about 700k, and I was like, this is a really successful triple captainship. Partly because of Haaland, but also because the defence, like Senesi was doing Senesi things, O'Reilly was keeping a clean sheet. Yeah. So I was like, this is looking quite promising. In the end, it's about 300k at the minute. I'll lose a bit of that tomorrow if Wilson does anything, if a clean sheet sticks for...
There's a few Andersons out there,
Fulham. I do need Forrest to score. The Forrest players aren't that heavily owned, though. So I need it to be a one-all draw with... like rogue people scoring, really.
Okay. What do you want to do for next week, though? Let's have a look at your bus team for next week.
There's a new face on my bus team for next week.
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
Jared's in.
Jared
is in. Flipping heck, okay.
Saw enough.
Wow.
Watching Match of the Day last night.
Oof, okay.
To shoot my shot with Jared Bowen. So,
what did you see in a 3-0 defeat to City that made you think, oh, I must go and get a West Ham
because
player?
Were it not for Donnarumma, there's not a 3-0 win. West Ham score. He makes 2 great saves.
From Bowen?
Yes.
Was it?
Well, not both of them were from Bowen, but you saw it in the XG. Bowen's XG stats were good in this game.
Yeah.
He definitely underachieves. He should do more than he does. He is by far and away West Ham's most creative player. West Ham are crap. However, Bowen is not. And
if he's playing with a bunch of crap around him, then what's
because I think like West Ham in this game, I wasn't expecting a lot out of them. Obviously, it's Manchester City. And they were without their 2 arguably best defenders, despite, you know, whatever that means for them, with Wan-Bissaka and Diouf now away at AFCON.
Oh, yeah.
And they were without Pakatar. And so they're playing this game a little bit handcuffed. And they're playing away at the Etihad, which is definitely the easiest place in the world to go, of course. So next week, these are the games. When Nuno's doing the team talks, these are the games. He's looking at Fulham, he's looking at Brighton, he's looking at the team's Wolves, the ones that, you know, you would expect them to be able to get something out of. And I just think that there's an opportunity here to try something. And as you keep telling me, you have to do some different things in order to make your rank work.
Sure. I don't think I sound like that, but yeah, sure.
You did earlier when you were ranting. You've probably got it in your notes on your phone as well. But I think...
what are you doing about Kudus?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
Because you know what he does, Lee? He takes the set pieces against a Palace side who can't stop conceding from set pieces.
Okay, fair enough.
So Kudus can take the corners and hopefully get something in that one. Kudus is a player that I want to sell every week. Every week I go into it going, I probably should sell Kudus. The only time I didn't want to sell him was the week I had 5 free transfers because he was on pens at that point, and I thought, well, he's probably worth holding. And we had a nice fixture against Forest, who then decided to be really good. So this week, were it not for the Bruno injury, I might have considered doing something about Kudus. But of course, now I've got a Bruno-shaped problem and I have no transfers.
Yeah, go on then. So you went early on Bowen, but that was yesterday. today's a new day. So, yes. Fernandez is now injured.
So I did the thing that what I always say I'm never going to do, which is go early. And I never do that. But... And my and I said to you earlier, didn't I, when we were having dinner, I actually wasn't worried about Bruno because Bruno never gets injured. He's just a machine. He just plays and plays.
He tried
to
play on, didn't he, when he'd done his hammy today?
Yeah, he's a machine.
Like, tried to play on.
He's a machine. I was slightly concerned about Tuesday night because I've got three Arsenal players and I've got Gahey. So in my head, I was thinking, oh, God, if one of them got injured on midweek, unless it was rare and then I could play Dubravka, I suppose. But
yeah.
I've got a problem. So I thought it was worth doing it because I was so tight on budget anyway.
Okay.
I thought, and I think actually I've left the budget thing wrong on the other screen. I didn't change it. I meant to. I was so close on budget. Thiago was dropping, Bowen was going up. And I was like, I'm going to price myself out of this and not be able to do it. And I'd been saying all week that this was the move I wanted to make this week.
All right.
So I've done it.
I don't mind it.
What will I do now? I'm going to let it be for now because I can let Bruno come down if needs be. And we know he's not coming down for a couple of days. The players that I'm pondering on, it's either I go Rodgers, who's going up tonight, but I don't want to make that decision and I don't need to. I'll just take the point one
sure.
if I decide to go there. But I don't think I want to do that. I think I want to wait 2 weeks for Rodgers. I think I'm going to either go Grealish or I'm going to go Verts for 2 weeks.
Okay. All right.
And then I'll reassess in 2 weeks' time. And go either take that player up to or down to Morgan Rodgers or across to Morgan Rodgers. Or if they are performing, I'll do kudos to Morgan Rodgers at that point.
Cool. All right. Very good. Well, our teams, having looked pretty similar for this week, will, I think, start to look quite different again, which is good because it doesn't sound like you've gone Bowen rather than Ekitike, and I'm firmly going to go Ekitike. You look like you might go for Rodgers in midfield, whereas I'm leaning a bit more towards Cunha. So I think our teams will start to deviate again, which is good. Which is a good thing, because I felt like this week was basically Senesi and Kudus for you versus Harry Wilson and Virgil van Dijk for me, wasn't it? The rest was just completely a wash. So good that we'll have a slight difference in teams, which is good.
I don't know why that bothers you.
I just say it's good for content. Speaking of which, what content is coming up this week? Talk everyone through.
Well, thank goodness, Lee, it's actually going to be a bit of a quieter week because we had a mad one last week.
Well, it's bloody Christmas, so it should be, shouldn't
it? We had a mad one last week, though, didn't we? Because we
did a lot of content, wasn't
it? You did off the bench, then you had to stand in on the main pod with me, then I did the fancy show, then we did Sky. It was all a bit mad. So this week is a little bit quieter. There's no off the bench this week, but there is an FPL pod on Tuesday to set you up for the Boxing Day fixtures, because obviously, as much as I love Jules and Kelly, I don't want to pod with them on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
So there is a whole, like, everyone plays Boxing Day, don't they? Like,
yeah, but it's
in,
only
in
one
Christmas
day.
Is past, it's like that everyone plays. But this year, I guess for TV scheduling reasons, it's more spread out. But there is one game on Boxing Day. And for those of you that don't, that don't celebrate Christmas and Boxing Day, we should say that is Friday next week. So Friday next week is Boxing Day. And there is one fixture. I don't even know what fixture it is.
It's Manchester United and Newcastle.
Newcastle. Okay, it's on Friday. So the deadline, the FPL deadline is Friday.
Friday night
next week. After that, what's the next deadline after that?
Tuesday.
I'm just going to check that because this is, we get.
It is Tuesday because we're doing a pod Monday morning.
Right. Okay, good.
I know the deadlines by a pod schedule.
Okay, yeah.
So this week...
Tuesday the 30th at 6 p.m.
Yeah. So this week, in terms of content, there'll be an FPL pod out on Tuesday. Then on Boxing Day, I believe Lee's doing a fantasy show Day morning. I believe so, yes. And then...
Oh, but I don't have too much to drink Christmas then.
It's all right. You can make some notes in your phone. Sit by yourself in the corner while everyone else celebrates. Makes
brilliant.
Notes. And then it won't matter anyway because nothing will have happened since Monday. And then I'll be doing a Q&A with Az on Boxing Day at 4 o'clock. So if you are really struggling, come over to the Fancy Football Scout YouTube channel.
Az, really struggling with what?
What you're doing with your Boxing Day fixtures.
Fine.
If you've eaten too much and just want somebody to say it's okay or... You know, whatever
have
you want.
Have another bit of turkey.
If you
it's
want
fine.
To
it's
come
okay.
and talk to Az about Calvert-Lewin
or what?
if you yes. just need somewhere to cry because, your team's a mess and you've got flags everywhere, Fancy Football Scout Q&A at 4 o'clock on Boxing Day afternoon.
All right.
And then we will be back as normal on Sunday next week to review Game Week 18 and all of that.
Yeah.
ahead of Tuesday's deadline.
Yeah. When are we going to see our friends?
Monday next week.
Monday next week. Should we? Are we? Is there anything announced that we're doing together, or like, are we announcing anything? No.
We're going to see Az and Yelena.
We're going to spend a couple of days with Az and Yelena. I think there'll be content. We just don't know what it is yet.
There will be content. we've booked an igloo.
You know what she's like with that bloody camera? She'll be vlogging everything in the igloo, won't she?
There'll be content.
Oh, there'll be content. Anything.
I'm not sure what the content will be, but we're going to see them the week between. That boring week between Christmas and New Year. For us, it's not boring.
We were just like, what can we do? That's such a weird period of time, isn't it? Christmas and New Year, what can we do? Let's go and spend 2 days with Az and Yelena and just get drunk and talk about Dominic Calvert.
Yeah, getting drunk. What's wrong with you?
I will be. Me and Az will be. I'd imagine we'll have a mulled wine. I'd imagine.
Well, good luck. What you're going to see on the vlog is Lee in the corner of the pub by himself making notes on his phone.
Right, that is it for tonight's FPL family. That's a long one, mainly because I ranted so much about Spurs. I am going off to check my notes in my phone to see how many red cards
sit by yourself. Do
Spurs
it.
Should have had at the weekend. Leave us a like, subscribe, all that good stuff if you're new around here. I'm doing the outro, Sam. What?
Don't forget to wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
I nearly did actually forget that.
You were in that swing of I'm going to say goodbye, but we won't see these guys again until Christmas is gone.
We won't. So good luck.
Glad tidings.
Good luck if you've got Harry Wilson tomorrow. Everybody else.
Sorry, he's getting a red card.
Unless he plays for Spurs, he won't.
He is.
Merry Christmas,
Nicky
everybody.
Van Der Ven him.
Have a lovely time over Christmas if you are celebrating it. And we'll be back next Sunday when, the rest of the Spurs would have been sent off. We'll have more nonsense and content for you next Sunday. Until then, have a great time over Christmas. Spend loads of time with your families and your friends, and we'll see you soon. Cheers, guys.
Bye, everybody.